Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are continuing our meditation on the Lord's Prayer. We have come to the last petition, deliver us from evil. And we had been reflecting in the last episode whether it is deliver us from evil or from the evil one. Did Jesus speak about an impersonal force as evil, or did he think of speak of a personal evil? From the Old Testament that we analyzed, we could conclude that the Bible, the Old Testament especially, speaks of Satan, the power of evil, as a person, a personified evil. This evil power is bringing accusations against human beings before God. So he is the accuser. He is the attorney general, so to say, of God, who brings accusations, not only accusations, but also false accusations, who calumniates, who insinuates evil. And beyond that, he incites people to do evil, as he tempted David. So Satan, who was supposed to be an angel, one of the sons of God, or one of the heavenly being, turned into an evil force, one turned against God, against human beings. How did this turn over came into existence? We do not know exactly. But some passages in the book of Isaiah, as well as Ezekiel, and some other old passages give us the idea that one particular individual or an archangel rebelled against God because of pride. A proud person who wanted to be exactly like God, who did not want to accept the dominion of God, who wanted to pretend to be God. So by this rebellion against God, he turned out into a power of evil. So that which was created good turned out to be evil. This is a way of saying, expressing, explaining something inexplicable, something mysterious, something that the human intelligence cannot understand. How did the power of evil come into existence? If God is good and only good and supreme good, how did he create something evil? The explanation given is, it's not God who created evil, but his own creation, independent, free creatures turned out against God, misusing their independence, refusing to accept the dominion of God, they became evil. Well, that is how the Bible tries to explain it. Even though we know evil remains a mystery that is not totally to be understood. Now, coming to the New Testament. New Testament is more clear about this power of evil. Jesus had given so many warnings, so many teachings about this particular aspect of creation, evil. The power of evil is very often called Satan, as in the Old Testament, Satana. But he is also called devil or diabolos. Diabolos comes from the word dia and balein, the preposition dia and balein, the verb, to throw in between, meaning to separate people from one another, separate human beings from God, separate people from one another. So cause division, quarrel, separation. It's a divisive force. Unity is good. Division is the lack of unity. So devil is one who causes division, divides men, people among themselves, divide creatures from the Creator. So the power of evil is presented as devil or Satan. And in both these words, in the New Testament, we have only the singular. We have no Satans nor devils. There's only one individual singular. And this devil or Satan is given also many other names. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 13, chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew is the chapter of parables, the parables that explain the mystery of the kingdom of God. The first parable of the sower, when Jesus explains the various effects of the seed fallen in various types of grounds, the first effect, the first type of seed, he explains like this. Chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. The evil one, hoponeros. And in the prayer it is ek apo tu poneru. Here we have hoponeros, the masculine singular, the evil one. So when you compare it with the other synoptic gospels, for example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, what Matthew gives us, the evil one, Mark tells us Satan. Satan comes and takes away. The same parable interpreted in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 12, you have diabolos, devil. So, ho poneros, satana, and ho diabolos, that's all the same reality, all individual, singular. This singular force is given many other names. For example, he is the enemy, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He is murderer and liar, John 8, 44. He is the evil one. He is the prince of the world, John 12, 31. He is Satan, Matthew 3, 23. He is Beelzebub, the prince of demons, Matthew 12, 24. And so on. He is the author of lies. He is the author of death. He is one who causes all sorts of evils and sickness, Luke 13, 16. He binds people and makes them slaves. He persecutes, oppresses people. So many words and names explain the activity of this power of evil. Above all, Satan is presented as a tempter. Satan or devil or Beelzebub is a tempter who forces people, somehow induces wrong ideas and intentions in the hearts of the people to turn them away from God, turn them against God and against each other. We have already seen this aspect of the evil when we analyze the prayer, the supplication, lead us not into temptation. We have seen how Jesus himself was tempted. Jesus was tempted in the desert. Mark says he was tempted for 40 days. Matthew and Luke give three specific examples of this temptation. But the intention of the whole temptation was this: to jeopardize, to frustrate the plan of salvation God has made for humanity. Jesus came as the Son, anointed by the Spirit, to proclaim the kingdom of God, the good news to the poor. And this proclamation of the kingdom of God is being now threatened by the temptation, by devil. Ask these stones to become bread. Instead of taking up the will of the Father as the norm of life, Jesus is tempted to take his own will, his own ideas, human plans, instead of God's plan. And Jesus recognizes this as temptation and wins the battle over the tempter in the desert. All the three temptations were mastered by Jesus. He became victorious. So when Satan ended all the temptations, he did not leave Jesus for good. There is a very interesting saying in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 13. That marks the end of the narrative of temptation. In Luke 4:13, we read, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time." Akri kairu. Opportune is an addition by the translator. Until time. Time kairos. That is a time fixed. By whom? By God? By Satan? We are not told. But there is a time, a A time is fixed, an appointment is given. And we know it was given in Jerusalem. Luke has arranged the three temptations in such a way that the last one is in Jerusalem, at the pinnacle of the temple. It is there that Satan leaves Jesus for a time. And then he comes back. And Luke tells us in chapter 22, verse 3, that Satan entered Judas. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the people of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. The leaders of Judaism tried to arrest Jesus, tried to do away with him many times in Jerusalem, in Galilee, in various places. But they could not. They could not because the whole people were functioning as a protective wall around Jesus. The leaders were afraid of the people. But now, when Satan enters into one of the disciples of Jesus, everything falls into place. We don't see anymore the protecting crowd. Things move very fast. The leaders take up charge, and the very night Jesus is arrested. So Luke sees a connection between Satan and the arrest of Jesus. And that's how he tells to the people who came to arrest him. In Luke 22:53, when I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on